Lee Strobel, the well-known author and pastor, he used to collect a lot of corrections that he used to find in the newspapers, you know, back when they were a thing. Anyway, he'd often use them as illustrations in his sermons because he would say, you know, often the corrections are way funnier than the original bloopers. I was at a conference one time and he was sharing a couple of them. I actually wrote them down, and so here's the first one. In the last week's issue, a picture showed some very unusual Oriental dishes, which were enjoyed by a party of foreign exchange students. My thigh thin is a foreign exchange student who was standing in the center of the picture. We incorrectly listed her name as one of the items on the menu. We regret this error. You know, sometimes in their attempt to make amends and actually correct the wrong that they had done for somebody, they end up making it worse. Here's another one that said, in a recent article, we referred to the chairman of the Chrysler Corporation as Lee Iacocca. That was incorrect. His real name is Lee Iacocca. But what these people are trying to do when they make these corrections is they're trying to make something right, you know, that they have wronged. Though I'm not so sure that newspapers maybe even do this anymore. You know, now there are updates instead of corrections and all that kind of stuff. But that's essentially what this whole idea of this next step in the road to recovery is all about. It's about doing a little relational repair work and going back and trying to repair some of the damage, right, that others have done to us, and some of the damage that we have done to others. And it is the letter E in this acrostic recovery that we've been using, right? And so today, step six is this. Evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who've hurt me, and make amends for the harm that I've done to others, except, you know, when to do so would actually harm them or others worse. This is based on Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, where it says, get rid of all bitterness and all rage and all anger, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Jesus Christ forgave you. Now, in this step, there's obviously two parts to it, right? First, he says, forgive those that have hurt me. I want you to think about some of the hurts that you have from your past, some of the people that you're still holding on to because a wrong, of a hurt that they've done. First step again is forgive those that have hurt me. And second, make amends to those that I've actually hurt. But maybe you're sitting there and you're asking, you know, why in the world should I do this, Pastor? Why should I forgive those that have hurt me? I mean, this resentment thing's working great. Well, God actually has three really good reasons for you this morning, and I want you to listen to them because I don't know if that resentment thing is working quite the way you think it should. First thing God says is this. Because God has forgiven me. And if God has forgiven me, he says, I should probably forgive other people. In fact, he just says, I should forgive other people. In Colossians, it says, never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And so when I remember how much God forgives me, to be honest, it makes it a whole lot easier for me to forgive other people. Because here's the reality. I will never have to forgive anybody else in my life more than God has already forgiven me. Never. And the same is true with you. I will never have to forgive anybody else more than God has forgiven me. And when you have a hard time forgiving other people, usually it's an indicator that you really don't feel forgiven yourself. Because people who feel forgiven usually find it a whole lot easier to be forgiving. People who feel unforgiven find it a whole lot more difficult to forgive other people, to let them go, because they're continually beating themselves up for their past. So you need to start by realizing that if God's forgiven me, then because of Jesus, I need to forgive other people. But he goes on and gives us some more things to think about. He says resentment also does not work. It's unhelpful. It's unhealthy. In Job 18:4, it says, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. In other words, let me say this again, it is unhelpful. Why? Because you're always hurting yourself way more than you're hurting anybody else. Think about it. When you get angry and all upset, when you get resentful against somebody and you're all worked up, you're not actually hurting them. You're hurting you. There you are worrying, stewing, and spewing, all upset about it, all freaking out about it, and it's not bothering them at all. They're not even thinking about it. Somebody may have hurt you 10, 20, 30 years ago, and you're still resentful about it today. is still making you miserable. But they've completely moved on. They completely forgot about it. And as a result, resentment can't change the past. It cannot correct the problems. It doesn't change the person. It doesn't even hurt the person. It only hurts you. It makes you miserable. In fact, I've never talked to anybody who's been resentful about something, and they say, man, I feel so much better being resentful these days. This has been awesome. Why haven't I heard that? Because what bitterness actually does is it just makes you mad and unhappy and miserable. By far, the most unhappy people I know are those that are carrying a grudge from the past. And so it's unreasonable and it's unhelpful. Job 21, it says this, some men stay healthy till the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and they die with bitter hearts. In other words, it's also an unhealthy thing. Research has actually shown that the unhealthiest emotion that people can have is resentment, because it's like a cancer that eats you alive from the inside out. It's a poison. It has physical consequences. For example, have you ever said, that guy is such a pain in the neck? We'll use neck. And the thing is, he may actually be that. That actually may be the cause of the pain in your neck, right? Dr. S.I. McMillan once said, it's not so much what you eat anymore, it's what eats you that seems to matter the most. Because nothing drains you emotionally like bitterness does. Thinking of that person, that former boyfriend, that girlfriend, that former husband or wife, that teacher who embarrassed you in class way back in the day, that parent who told you or never told you that they loved you, that person you were dating who, I don't know, they just dropped you and they never said anything about it, just moved on, never gave you a call. You're holding on to all of that, right? And it drains your body and it drains your energy. It just prolongs the hurt. It's kind of like an emotional suicide. So God, because he loves you, he says to you, you need to forgive those people in your past that have hurt you for your own sake. And then he gives us a third thing that I think is probably even a little bit harder. Reason God gives us why we need to forgive, because I will need forgiveness in the future. In Mark 11, verse 25, Jesus says, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that resentment actually blocks God's forgiveness of your sin in your life. Is that what you want? No, you do not. The Bible says that we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. And so it's super dangerous to pray the Lord's Prayer if you're holding on to resentment. Because what it says is, if you remember, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. In other words, God, forgive me as much as we forgive everybody else. Is that what you want? I mean, let me ask you, do you really want that? And so God says what we need to do is we need to forgive other people because he's forgiven us. We need to forgive other people because resentment doesn't work. And we need to forgive people because we're going to need that forgiveness in the future. And we absolutely do not want to burn the bridge that we've got to walk across to get to heaven. The reality then is that forgiveness is a two-way street always. A guy came to John Wesley one time and he said, you know, I could never forgive that person, not in a million years, never. John Wesley said, then I hope you never sin. Because we all need what we don't want to give. Jesus says, don't burn the bridge that you need to walk across to get to heaven. Don't do it. Forgive. But maybe the question then is, how in the world do we do this? How do I let this person go? How do I actually forgive those who have hurt me in the past? And God, because he's awesome, right? He gives us that wisdom too. He says the first thing, or the first part of this, this idea of forgiving people, this process of doing it, is you've got to reveal your hurt. And I keep talking about putting it on this imaginary table, right? We've got to take it from the inside where we buried it way down deep, and we've got to put it on this table so that we can actually start dealing with it, so God can actually start healing it. So God's saying in this that we need to let it out, to admit it to ourselves, to face the facts, to be honest, because you can't get over a hurt until you first admit that it's a hurt. I don't know why it is, right? But we don't seem to want to admit the times where people that we love have hurt us. It doesn't make any sense, but we just resist that so much because we have a misunderstanding in our culture today, I think, that somehow says that you can't love somebody and be angry with them at the same time. But you know what? You absolutely can. I was talking to a person one time in counseling, and they said this. They said, I forgive my parents. They did the best they could. But the more I talked about that, right, with them, the more I saw that she hadn't really forgiven her parents at all. She was angry inside, and she kept rehearsing that pain. But she said that she had forgiven them. That's what we call denial. They did not do the best they could. That's the truth. Your parents probably didn't do the best they could. If you're a parent right now, you are probably not doing the best you can either. Why? Because we're imperfect, because we're selfish, because we're sinners. The reality is that nobody does the best they can. And so that's a form of denial, right, that she was saying about her parents. But until she was able to admit, no, they didn't do the best they could, they treated me in some ways that were just flat out wrong, it was then grasping hold of that truth that she could actually learn to forgive them. But you can't forgive what you don't want to own up to. That people have hurt you. So the first part, right, is to reveal your hurt, admit it, and put it down on paper. Again, I tell you, it helps to be specific. After you've done that, this is what you do. You release the offender. This is where I let him go, where I stop holding on to the hurt. Now you're asking, how in the world do you do that, Pastor? It doesn't come easy to me. That's hard for me to do. How do you actually release the offender? You don't know what they did, but you do it by forgiving them. It's the only way that you can release them. You don't want to wait for them to ask for forgiveness. They're probably not going to do that. You do it whether they ask for forgiveness or not. Why? Because you're not doing it for their sake. You're doing it for you. Why? Because God has already forgiven you, and you're going to need forgiveness in the future. And resentment clearly doesn't work. Just makes us miserable. You know, stop me if you've heard all of this before, right? So you release your offender and you forgive them for your own sake. A friend of mine shared a story with me one time. There was a lady named Judy who was going through really just a messy, messy divorce. Her stress was high, and on top of the divorce, she began to actually go blind in one eye. Her eye began to deteriorate, and she went down to the hospital and she checked it out, even saw a specialist on the whole thing. But they all said the same thing. It's deteriorating. We are so sorry. There's nothing that we can do about it. She was carrying all this resentment and all this bitterness. One day she walked into church, right? And she was sitting there in the service, and the pastor was speaking on resentment. And he said this: for your own sake, you've got to let it go. For your own sake, you've got to release your offenders, no matter what they've done. Don't allow people in your past to continue to hurt you in the present through resentment. Please let them go. At that, she bowed her head. She said, God, I reveal my hurt, and I want to release my offender to you today. I let them go, she said. She walked out of that church, and as she walked across the patio, miraculously, her eyesight came back. She went back to the doctor, and he said, you know, this is a miracle. You were blind in this eye. We don't understand what happened. But when she let go of her resentment, God said, I want to do a miracle in your life. And I'm telling you have no idea what can happen in your life when you let go of the people who've been hurting you. When you can let go of those negative things from the past, when you can receive forgiveness from God, but actually then receive the strength to let go of the people that have sinned against you and truly forgive them. And then God gives us this last piece. And this is where we replace our hurt with God's peace. Right? This is what the Bible says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And so how do we get to the place where Christ's peace rules in our hearts? You're saying this forgiveness thing, man, I don't know, Pastor, it's unfair. If I forgive them, you say, they get away scot-free. But here's the thing. No, they don't. Let God settle the score, though. He can do it a whole lot better job than you can. The Bible says that one day God is going to settle the score for everybody, and he's going to call into account everybody, and he's going to balance the books. And one day he's going to have the last word. So let God have the last word on that, okay? He'll take care of it, I promise you. He's the judge. He is judge, just. He is good. That's actually why there's a hell in the first place. In fact, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because if there is no hell, then people like Hitler will get away scot-free, and that's not fair, and God is a fair God. So the Bible says there will be judgment. So you just have to release them. And in the meantime, you focus on God's peace, rather than trying to get even. And let that peace then rule in your heart. Fact is, relationships can tear your heart into pieces at times. They can just rip it apart and make you just a mess inside. But here's the thing. God can glue those pieces back together and surround it and cover all your pieces with his peace. But it starts with releasing those people who've hurt you in the past, so that God can finally begin to do some repair work in your heart. For the good news of Jesus is this: God actually cares about you more than you can comprehend. And he wants to deal with all that relational garbage in your life. He also knows when he can handle it and when he can't. And so he takes it off one layer at a time. In fact, when you became a believer, right? When you heard the words from Jesus that because of what he had done for you on the cross, that you were now completely forgiven, that you were made new. I promise you, at that moment, one of those thick layers came off. And when you truly grasped hold of how much he actually loves you, another one came off. And so as time goes on, God wants to keep dealing with you, working with you, releasing you from all the junk. For he wants to get us to a point where not only can we put the relational garbage of our lives out by the curb, remember that analogy? That out by the curb for him to pick up in his truck, but to the point where God can take it and begin to recycle it and use it for good in your life. Because that too is his promise, isn't it? God wants to recycle the emotional garbage in your life and bring good out of it too. So my prayer for you this morning, my prayer for you today, is that you would let Jesus begin to do that for you. In the midst of your life, in the midst of the craziness of what's going on, in the midst of your inner self today, and that he would begin healing you from the inside out. And in so doing, finally give you that peace that you've been craving for. As I've said so many times before, that peace comes from trusting that he loves you. That peace comes from trusting that he cares. That peace comes from the fact that you are forgiven and loved by an amazing God. So receive that peace today. And all God's people said, amen? Amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you so much for Jesus. Father, as we look at our life, it blows us away, or it should blow us away, at all the things that you've forgiven us for in the past. All the things that we've said, done. Lord, you've been there. And when we think about the fact that you were there, we're filled with such shame. But we cling to the promise that every time we come to you and we say, God, we are so sorry. You forgive us completely. You make us new creations, new people. We're born again. All those cool descriptors, right? And we experience the freedom of what it is to be forgiven. Father, being blown away by that forgiveness, please give us the strength today to free us from another bondage that so many of us keep ourselves in. And help us forgive those that have hurt us. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord, to let them finally go and receive that freedom, that fresh breath of air that comes in and replaces all that hurt, all that pain, and let us finally experience your peace again, your joy again, the hope that you give us through Christ. Be with us this week. Be with us in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.